And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday. Boy, about said Monday. Tuesday, March the 6th, 2018. 3:06:18, 14 minutes coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. I'm Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. Now, a few quick programming notes. Next hour, we are going to have open phone line talk. There's been a lot of things going on in the news that I know a lot of people want to talk about. So next hour, we are going to get the chance to do that. 1:10 to 2 p.m., we'll open up the phone lines, and you can talk about anything you want. Also want to let you know that the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, will be with us live on Friday from 1:10 to 3 p.m. during the Charlie Evers Show. So don't miss that. And this is something for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning during the Charlie Evers Show, 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon, we have got a special announcement that you are not going to want to miss. Tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, we will make the special announcement on the Charlie Evers Show between 10:10 to 12 noon. Can't talk about it right now, but you are not going to want to miss that for love nor money. Now, something else you're not going to want to miss for love nor money is the guest we have on this hour. He has become a regular on this show, and I appreciate that beyond belief. He is one of the great comedians who resides in the pantheon of laughter. He always makes me laugh. We always have a good time, and there's never a prepared script for what we're going to talk about. So get ready, grab a hold of something, brace yourself. We're joined by the legend himself. He's worked with everybody. Shecky Green. Shecky, oh my goodness, how you doing?
Tuesday is my good news day. I'm glad you called me today. I'm feeling so gay. Okay.
Shecky, already off the bat, we had talked a little bit before we went on the air, and do you have the flu? I'm a little worried. You're a little under the weather.
No, I'm not under the weather with the flu or anything. I just, you know, I fell and I broke my leg, but I got the hips are gone, the knees are gone, and I'm surprised I'm sitting in this chair, because it must be somebody else. I couldn't be in this much pain. My God.
Uh-oh.
It's frightening what to get old. Do you know something? I shouldn't talk to you with this voice. I should go, hey, how are you? How's everything in Ohio? It's the voice I should use.
Well, Shecky, from talking to you now on a regular basis, certainly everything from the shoulders up sounds good.
No, the shoulders, let me tell you a wonderful story about that. In 1970, I had a fight with a girl in San Francisco that I was going with. And I says, well, I'm leaving. Got in my car at 12 o'clock and we drove back to Lake Tahoe. But I didn't quite make it to Lake Tahoe. I made it over the mountains at Lake Tahoe. And I went down about, 160 feet with the car. Now, they took me into a little shelter, two doctors, and they were ski doctors. They said, we only operate and we do things on feet for skiers, you know? And I guess you have to be Swedish or Norwegian to get to see those guys. With the skis, you know? And anyway, so I went back in to Los Angeles, and they got me into the hospital, and Dr. Leventhal, was really a specialist orthopedic man, and I'm just about ready to be operated when they came up and said, do you mind waiting? There's a Mexican kid with cancer, and we're going to operate on him. And I said, no, I got out of the hospital, and I never had that fixed.
Never.
That's 1970. Now, all of a sudden, with this other problem that I got, all of a sudden the shoulders are aching. You know, they're coming out of the body. I mean, your people probably really want to hear this.
No, this is good. This is good.
No, if you have a doctor that can fly over and help me. But anyway, from 1970 to now, it never bothered me. All of a sudden, that shit's driving me crazy. So all I could tell your people is, please take care of your bodies. If you go running in the morning, be careful, make sure you got the right shoes, you got the right, because everything takes a long time, you know?
Well, you know, so we might have to amend this and say you're good from the neck up.
No, let me tell you about the neck. That happened in 1965. No, see, my dog, when you mention neck to my dog, she thinks it's neck bones.
She went crazy.
You hear my dog?
I do. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Havanese.
A Havanese?
A Havanese is a dog that comes from Havana, Cuba, and it came over by inner tube.
Didn't Castro have a Havanese?
I know he had a beard.
He did have a beard. Yes, he did. You're right.
But this is a dog, even Queen Victoria had one of these.
You know, Shucky, you're now up in your ninth decade.
Oh, God.
No, that's good. That's good.
Oh, April, I'll be 92.
92 in April. My goodness. Just
I'm an old Jew. I'll be soon 92. When I can tell you, my dear friend, I'm coming quickly to the end. What can I do at 92? Okay. Now, my dog's barking. Did you call for my dog or me?
We're interviewing the dog. I think this might be a first. This is interesting. Shecky.
Oh, my. Wait. Let me open the door for her. How do you like that?
There we go.
She has to go out right in the middle of a conversation.
The dog's getting a lot of attention. Shecky, as you approach...
You know what's funny?
What's that?
That's the way we train my children, too, to bark when they had to go.
Is that right?
My two daughters used to bark.
How old are your kids now, Shecky?
Your people would be so proud. This dog is looking out the window to get out. Look at this. Is this something? Okay, so her name is Sophie.
Sophie the Havanese.
She's a Havanese, and she's the love of my life, this dog.
I love it. You know, usually this is kind of a paradox, Shecky. The dog has kind of the strange name, and the owner has the normal name.
My name is normal, Shecky?
No, that's what I'm saying. In your case, the person has the odd name, and the dog has a normal name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I tried to use the name Sophie, but I didn't want to dress that way.
If I ever get a dog, I'm going to name it Shecky, I think.
Well, you know what's funny? You know, you want to hear a story?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Ed Sullivan. We'll go back to him.
We love him.
I hadn't done the show in over a year. So now I walk into the Ed Sullivan Theater. He's on the stage. Shecky, I want you to come up here, right here on this stage. I said, okay. I said, so I run up on the stage. He's talking to Tony Martin. He pushes Tony Martin aside. He says, Shecky Green is the biggest thing in Miami Beach. I says, Ed, that's wonderful that I'm... So he says, I haven't worked in Miami Beach until you... Not you, you idiot. The dog. There was a dog that was named after me, a racing dog.
Oh.
A Greyhound. And he won the Biscayne Handicap. And it was in the papers. And the dog was not me.
You know, we've heard...
Not you, you idiot, the dog.
Boy, Tony Martin, he just pushed him out of the way, huh?
He pushed Tony Martin, you know that I love... Get out of here, Tony. Now, another guy in Chicago names a horse after me, Shecky Green. And Shecky Green ran in the Kentucky Derby against Secretariat. He had the lead for a mile. Did you know that?
I did know that.
You didn't know that?
No, I did.
Oh. Anyway, that horse, let me tell you something. I had a fight with that guy because he gave me... I bought 10% for $10,000 of the horse. And after the horse won the biggest race, he says, you're not getting the breeding. So we had a fight over that. So everything that was named after me it didn't come out too good.
Well, here's a couple questions, Shecky, that we've never got into here. You'll be 92 in April. That's next month. Is there anything on what they call now your bucket list that you still want to do?
Hey, I want to live.
Why? You're doing a good job of that.
I want to live till I die. I want to laugh till I cry. My number's up. I want to talk.
No, do you want to do anything with the career yet?
No. You want to know something? As I said before, I don't know what doctor to go to. Orthopedic, the vocal doctor, this doctor, the foot doctor. You know, we wake up, my wife and I, she goes to her doctors, I go to my doctors. And thank God for insurance. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you still drive at 92?
Yes, I drive, you know, but I have signs all over. Look out, I'm coming. I got a sign. Did you really want to be next to me? I'm 92.
Well, so you still have a good quality of life.
Let me tell you about that quality. That's not true, that. Life is what we make it. I mean, every individual, you think about it, it's the individual that makes it his own day by day and whatever the case may be. But it took me my whole life to find out whatever little things went bad were me, whatever things were good were me. It all depends upon yourself. You got to love yourself. You got to do things for yourself. You know, you got to be around the right people. As soon as somebody bothers you, get rid of them. As soon as they say, could you loan me $10, get rid of them.
Get rid of them. Move them out.
Wait a minute. I'm the one that's borrowing the money. No wonder those people don't talk to me anymore.
Shecky, you know what I was thinking the other night? Did you have a chance to watch the Academy Awards?
No, you want to know something? I watch a little bit, and then I tell you, because it's the same thing. Every one of these award shows are the same thing. It's just boring.
Well, here's what I learned from that. I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but the Academy Awards were 90 years old. You're older than the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Yeah. What did they do before the Academy Awards? Did people just do the work, and that was it?
No, what's funny, they weren't that organized in that particular time. But what's strange about it, if you think about the very first ones, they held it in a small room. There was only about the first Academy Awards, it was only maybe about 100 people, maybe not even that.
Well, you know, what I was happy to see
Janet Gaynor.
Janet Gaynor. Who was Janet Gaynor?
Janet Gaynor was a very famous actress. She was a little actress. She was cute as can be. And it was a serious picture about a husband and wife. I forget the name of it.
Who have you met in your career that you were in awe of? Who did you meet that really struck a chord with you?
Let's see. Struck a chord with me.
Yeah, did you ever meet like a Humphrey Bogart or Rhett Butler or somebody who you were a fan of?
No. I met people like... I worked with Hopes and I worked with people like that. I met Jolson. You know, those are... When you're a little kid and you see these people on television... Not television. On the movies, I mean... And all of a sudden you meet these people, you can't believe it. You know, when I first called my mother and I said to my mother, it sounded like a Georgie Jessel routine. Hello, Ma, this is Shecky. Well, you wouldn't believe it, Mama. You know who I met? I met Al Jolson. That's right, Al Jolson, the jazz singer. Uh-huh, Mama. Did he sing? Uh-huh. He sang, ah, climb upon my knee, sunny boy. That's right, Mama. And you know, when you meet these people, and you really can't believe it, you know.
You know what I've noticed is, you mentioned...
Wait, one thing I got to tell you.
Go ahead.
Before I forget, because I'm 92.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Helen Traubel. Now, how many Jewish comedians could say they worked with Helen Traubel?
Very few, I would guess.
Do you know who Helen Traubel was?
No, I don't.
Helen Traubel was a very famous opera singer who taught Margaret Truman how to sing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And you were, how did you work with her?
I worked with her up at Lake Tahoe. But she and I became friends. She was from St. Louis, and we became friends there. And then I worked with her. And the second day, her voice went out. And then she says to me, Shecky, now you're going to headline the show. How do you like that? That's the way her voice sounded at that time. She was one of the most magnificent ladies. But when you think about, you know, and I sometimes look through some pictures that I got, and I see these people. I just, tears come to my eyes.
Oh, I bet. Well, you had such a great, tremendous career. Now, what is the secret to getting to be 92?
I get to be 91 first.
You have to do 91.
That's getting to 92. getting to know you, getting to hope you get 92, getting to hope you make 93. All of a sudden, I'm feeling bright and breezy because I'm 92, and I'm talking to you in Ohio.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you still have a record to release. That's what you can do, Shecky.
No, you know what's funny? Years ago, one of my first jobs was at the Shapery in Chicago. And a lady wrote a song. And she says to me, "You sing, and I beg of you, record this song." I says, "I don't make recordings. I don't." Well, she kept after me. And finally, I recorded the song. So they take me one night to Maywood in outside of Chicago to watch the harness races. And the guy says, and now this is the speaker in the place at the Maywood racetrack. "Ladies and gentlemen, Shecky Green." And they put my record. the record was, if I was an apple, I would want you to bite me. It was the most ridiculous thing in the world. "If I was a light, I would want you to light me." But I went out to a horse race to hear my record.
Do you have a copy of that record?
Oh, no. No, but I should. The other song was a good song about merry-go-round. "Look what I found, it's a merry-go-round. Let's buy a ticket and ride. We'll grab a balloon on the way to the moon on the oompa-pa merry-go-round. We'll travel in a..." You want to know something?
What's that?
We're talking about 70 years ago, and I still remember that song.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, Shecky, I was just looking here. April 8th, 1926... Let's see here. You what do you know what day of the week you were born on?
No, you know, I don't know. It's either a Thursday.
Thursday, you're right.
Was it Thursday?
You were born on a Thursday.
Yep.
That one.
Now, how do you remember that? And I wasn't even in the world long, and I remember that day.
Well, now here's a fact, a fun fact of the day you were born. On April 8th, 1926, following a colorful naval ceremony, Mussolini disembarked in a battleship for Tripoli to make his first visit to the colony of Italy, supporting a large bandage across his nose from the previous day's assassination attempt, but displaying no other ill effects. That's the day you were born. Mussolini had a bandage on his nose.
Had a bandage. Look at that. Started my dog again. Okay, Mussolini's not coming here. Shut up.
Yeah, Mussolini
Cut.
Had...
Sophie, stop.
Mussolini had... Ooh, was that a growl?
Mussolini, I'm going to tell you. If you look at the Trump... Now, when Trump make a speech... Now, do me a favor and watch this. Take a look, and he's got his face protruded exactly like Mussolini. The chin comes out, and he looks exactly like Mussolini. He doesn't have the hat, but we're going to put him on a balcony to make a speech.
You know, a lot of people
are... Ladies and gentlemen, here is our President Trump. Puffanata tutto facendo, cazzo rotto e tabellatore italiano, mi caccia le capeggio, non vuoi parlare, trombo le Trump.
And you've met President Trump.
You know what? I didn't. I worked for him, and I never met him.
Never met him. Just did.
Never met him.
Never met him.
I'm trying to think of something to say about him, but the least said about him, the better.
You know, you have been a fan of sports. In your heyday, boxing was a big thing going on in Las Vegas. Did you ever meet any of the well-known prize fighters?
Well, what's his name? I just was with Mike Tyson the other day.
Oh, you were?
We had lunch, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you're friends with Mike Tyson.
My friends with Mike Tyson, Rocky, what's his name, from Brockton, Mass. I was with him, Rocky Marciano.
Oh.
What's his name, Barney Ross was from my hometown and my neighborhood in Chicago. Yeah, but I also did a little boxing when I was young.
Now, tell me, because this is an odd friendship. I've never heard of this. Mike Tyson and Shecky Green. How did this come about?
Well, I tell you, Mike talk a little bit like that, but I met Mike through Gene Kilroy, who worked with Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali and I were very close friends.
Tell me about Muhammad Ali.
Huh?
Tell me how Muhammad Ali was off camera.
Well, I happened to love him. I mean, not like him, but I loved him. He I cannot tell you what a good, as dumb as he supposedly, school-wise and everything else, that's how he intrinsically was smart. He just had something, you know? He just was a special guy.
Yeah, we didn't answer that. How did your friendship with Mike Tyson come about? Through Muhammad Ali's trainer?
Well, no, through Gene Kilroy. Gene Kilroy was with Muhammad Ali for years.
And how
Gene Kilroy was a former player with the Philadelphia Eagles.
So when you went out, how was this arranged the other day that you and Mike Tyson would have a get-together?
Well, I wasn't feeling good, you know, with the thing. And I went to a doctor, and we all got together for lunch. And then he signed some gloves for me, you know, that I'd give out to kids.
And what's he up to these days? What's Mike doing?
He's doing very well, believe it or not. You know, he went out with that show of his, and now he lives here in Vegas.
Did you happen
they
to...
They just sold one of his houses. I don't know whether you saw that. They just are going to make something out of it.
He lived in Ohio for a while.
Yeah, he was moving around.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, he got numbers. He got his name all over. His number in Ohio was 469321. In Illinois, it was 1593. What, you know? People used to say, "My God, that's Mike Tyson." We know him as 1496.
Now, does Mike Tyson have a good sense of humor?
Well, do you know what? I'd have to do it, and then I'll call you back. If I call you back, make a time, and I call you back, you know he's got a good sense of humor. If I don't call you back, you know he didn't have a good sense of humor.
Didn't have a good sense of humor.
Yeah. You know, yeah, then they'll put me at the mortuary 14976.
Now,
but I love these guys because they used to be, they always said about a fighter they were punching. Not anymore. Now they go out to make the big bucks and everything. I knock guys out in every bout before round number three, but I can't get a knockout to go around with me. I'm a mess without a missus. Got the kisser, no one kisses, cause tomatoes don't like cauliflower ears. When in the ring, I clearly hear the women cheering howl. But when I brings a wedding ring, they all throws in the towel. When I corners a doll for hugging, she comes out of the corner slugging, cause tomatoes don't like cauliflower ears.
Shaky, I want to make sure
I wrote that. I was
that's a good song.
I just got out of service when I wrote that.
Do you write these things? How much is improvisational?
You see, that was improv. Everything I do is improv. And then sometimes people say, well, can we have a copy of that? But I don't have it anymore. It goes out of my brain.
It's gone.
You know?
Well, thank goodness we tape these things.
But, Scott, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I used to tell kids about show business, I never had an act. I would get up there and talk. Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was very bad. You know what I mean? The way you start off. So I tell kids today, make sure that you got a beginning. You got to have a beginning. Get that audience together first. Then you go into your improv and stuff like that.
You know, how this is good for people listening out there. How should you get on stage? How did you get on stage?
I would just get on. It was my feeling, no matter what happened, I would talk about that. Did you see what just happened, I would say, about the maitre d'? You know, he actually had his hand turned the right way. The money fell on the floor, you know? So I would make up things at the distance I got on. But that's no good. You got to be prepared. If you're an opera singer, you're prepared. If you're this, you're prepared. You know, you've got to be prepared.
Now, when you went off stage, what's a good way to leave the stage?
With a lot of applause.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
And the people standing up. But I had to go to the place where somebody was working next door in the other room to get that for my closing. I would walk into the other room where they were standing up, and I would accept it.
One thing, I got to make sure I get to this, because we've had requests since you were on last. The greatest, it's now what we call the greatest story in talk show history, is the time you were a guest on Fantasy Island, and you had a conversation with Hervé Villachez's...
Oh, God.
Oh, now this is good. I'll set it up for the... Now, Shecky Green is on Fantasy Island, and Hervé Villachez is married to a woman. And,
Linda.
Yeah. And you tell... And then Ricardo Montalban pulls you over at the end. Start from how Hervé was talking to his wife and what happened there.
No. Well, I was late, but I didn't know. They always gave me, I don't know why, when I did, what's the thing with Hank, the thing, Splash. They gave me a wrong time, and I came in, they were all waiting for me, and I missed about 3 hours. Anyway, with her, whatever his name, the little guy, we'll give him a half a name, because that's the size he was. So I'm late, and when I got on the set, they're all little, and he was the maddest.
I want to ask you something. Where were you?
So, okay. Now I sit down, and his wife comes up to me, Linda, and he had just gotten married to this beautiful girl. And she says, Shecky, could I get you a cup of coffee? I said, Linda, that would be lovely. He came over. He said, listen, I want to tell you something. You don't talk to my wife. You understand? I got a gun. And you talk to my wife, I go to church too. I said, wow, are you joking? Is this a joke or what? And then, what's his name, came over.
Ricardo.
He said, Shake it, don't worry. I want to tell you, he's a little crazy. Don't worry about it. You know? But I mean, I said to this little guy, and I'll put you back on a cake and sell you this for somebody's birthday.
So Ricardo knew that he was a little unbalanced.
Yeah, he was a wacko. He was really a wacko.
So this had probably happened before.
Sure, evidently, all during the series. When he used to say, the plane, boss, the plane, the plane. There was no plane, it was a bus.
But Ricardo, at that point, he didn't care. He was just removed.
Ricardo, let me tell you, Ricardo Montalban was one of the nicest human beings that got put on this earth. He was married to Loretta Young's sister.
So you don't think that was a happy set? Ricardo and Hervé did not get along.
No, I can't say that, because Ricardo would get along with anybody. I mean, I don't think he'd let him bother him.
So you don't think Hervé pulled the gun on Ricardo?
No, but eventually they did get him with the gun, you know that.
Yeah, I forget about that, but I remember he was picked up at one point.
Yeah, he had the gun. He was going to shoot somebody, kill somebody.
You know, living...
He was so small, he couldn't hold the gun straight. Every time he held a gun, the gun went up in the air.
You know, this is funny. You lived out there in Hollywood and Las Vegas and those great areas. A guy who always seemed unbalanced to me was Robert Blake. Did you ever know Robert Blake?
Very well.
What was wrong with him? Was that a show?
Robert Blake used to come up to my dressing room and just sit, you know? I used to say to him, did you ever go out and watch me work? You know. But I don't know why there was a thing with me, and he felt there was maybe because I'm the same way, you know. And I'm a little off the wall. Oh, my God, a wall. Don't mention that around Trump.
Oh,
we
no.
don't mention walls anymore.
No. Oh, you know, I bet Hervé would not like Trump because Hervé was not from America.
No. Hervé was from South America.
Oh, you see, he wouldn't like this.
Hervé was only about 2.5 feet or 3 feet, and the rest of him was left wherever he came from.
Now, can you imagine, God bless him, Hervé...
No, talk about Blake again. It was very interesting, because when he went through that thing with the wife...
Yeah, murdering. He was accused.
Yeah. And he beat that thing, too.
He did.
But... It's a strange. I mean, it was a wonderful thing that he beat it, but I don't know. He was a very strange man. And when he was a kid, when he was a little kid in the movies, if you ever see him in the movies,
yeah, oh yeah, as a young kid, yeah.
He was the most adorable, most wonderful, and he was so natural, you know. But something happens as we grow older.
When you heard that a guy you had known well was accused of murder, what did you think?
Well, that was me first. And then, no. Well, listen, Scott, it's life. I mean, every day we get up, we see things, especially when you're in, you know, like we were in show business, and we met all these people, anything could happen. You know, I keep on reading in these magazines, this one had a nervous breakdown, that one had a nervous breakdown, you know. And I'm looking for these people, because when I have my nervous breakdown, I want to have company. Well, you come and have a nervous breakdown with me, and we'll go into room 223. The doctor comes in twice a day, and you'd be surprised when I put the right pill. This'll go away. Okay. You're talking to me on a good day, because I think I'm completely wacko.
No, this is great, and we've still got 13 minutes. You might break before the show's over. It'll be great.
Well, could I tell you, I appreciate you calling me. I feel very wanted and loved when you call me, and I thank you. And I love everybody in Ohio.
Well, all right, and we've got 13 minutes, and what we haven't done is get a lot into our favorite subject, which is Ed Sullivan. Now, we've told a lot of Ed Sullivan's story.
Wait, one thing I'm going to ask you before.
Oh, please,
forgive me.
Go ahead.
Could you mention the name Dale Stitzel?
Dale Stitzel.
Dale Stitzel.
Got it.
He lives in Ohio someplace. I was in the Navy with him. I have never gotten in touch with him. I just want to know from his family if there's any place around just to say hello to me and let me know whatever happened to Dale Stitzel.
Dale Stitzel. If anybody out there knows a Dale Stitzel, email Scott at WWGH1071.com and we'll get that info out to Shecky.
I love you.
All right. Now, Ed Sullivan, what is it? We've covered him from head to toe, but what is something we haven't covered with Ed Sullivan?
I could see Ed. So let's tell you Ed Sullivan today. The show is over. The show, we're setting up a scene here. The show is over. Ed Sullivan hasn't been on television. Now he's in a restaurant, and he's got his head down. And Ed, do you think you'd still be big if you were on? I want to tell you something, that I was the biggest thing on television. My show was watched by millions of people. And now right here on our show, of the show shows, there's nothing left. There's no show that can possibly... Wait just a moment, I'm going to cry. I don't have my show anymore. But I want to tell you, if I had my show, in just a moment. If I had my show, but I don't have, that would be Ed Sullivan today.
Oh, my dear. You know, I just found out something very interesting.
I'm nuts.
No, I love
it. You got any idea? I'm insane.
No, this is free association. I love it. With 10 minutes left to go, I just found out an interesting fact about Hervé Villechaize. Did you know that after he left Fantasy Island, he got a job as the spokesperson for Dunkin' Donuts?
What was he, the hole in the middle?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's a spot for Dunkin', a classic spot from Dunkin' Donuts. Take a listen, audience. This is Hervé Villechaize about 30 years ago selling donuts.
The plan. No. Cinnamon. The chocolate.
Dunkin' Donuts introduces new minis. They're smaller than our regular donuts, so now you don't have to choose just one. You can have more of your favorites each time you come in.
No, the frosted. The coffee rolls, the butternut, the glaze.
Buy plenty of new Dunkin' Minis, so you won't get caught short.
My dear goodness.
Wait a minute, was that him?
That was him.
I didn't hear him. I really didn't hear him. But you know what's strange about this?
What's that?
The man that owned Dunkin' Donuts, that came from Massachusetts, was one of my dear, dear friends.
Oh,
I went to Duke University to lose weight, and I met him. His name was, I think it was the last name, I'm pretty sure, Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Yeah.
Well, let me try this one more time here, because he apparently made a lot of these commercials. Now, he was trying to help Dunkin' Donuts sell a new product called Minis.
Yeah, the Mini Donuts.
So here is Hervé Villechaize. Maybe we'll hear his voice a little better in this one.
First, we made the donuts mini.
Mini donuts.
Then we made the eclairs mini.
Mini eclairs.
And to make that an even bigger deal, we made the money mini.
Mini money.
Which means you can get a lot of Dunkin' Donuts minis for very little money. Any 5 minis for the minimum of just 99 cents. This is one offer that's too small to miss.
The chance.
So come to Dunkin' Donuts, where everything seems to be mini. So many minis, so little money.
Now, don't go try to buy Dunkin' Donuts. That commercial's 30 years old.
Wait a minute. Is he saying the plane?
Yeah, he said the minis.
The minis. But, you know, he didn't last long with his wife.
No, I would imagine he'd be hard to deal with.
Yeah, that lasted about 6 bullets, and it was over.
Well, you know, poor Hervé, that had to be awful, being a short person as he was, to... At that point in his career, the only job he could get was selling mini donuts.
Well, they could use them in, like, a mechanic to get under the cars and everything. You know, he could do those things. He could put them right in the motor. He could go looking for it. I went to tell you where he's the spark plug. He just give me a spark plug.
He never really had much of a career after Fantasy Island.
No. Why he didn't have, because of what he was. He probably would have, but he was mean.
A mean little guy.
You know, he had that star complex. Yeah. I want to tell you something. I don't look it, but I'm 6 feet tall.
Well, see, this is why, being from South America and being a little nutty, I don't think he and President Trump would get along with this wall thing.
No. Even if they put him against the wall to shoot him, they couldn't find him, you know. But, no, Trump and he would not get along.
He would not have been out there campaigning for Trump.
No. He was so in love with himself, he became that kind of a thing. That's why when I used to watch Ricardo, he would sort of stay away from, you know.
Well, you know, Ricardo just seemed like nothing could ever shake him.
He was, but let me tell you, he's one of the best. I don't know. I don't know whether he's still living or not. I think he is, but I love him,
Ricardo. But Mike Tyson is part of your daily.
I love Mike Tyson.
Oh, God bless. Who else?
Love Mike Tyson. What Mike Tyson went through and everything else, but Muhammad Ali the best.
So
Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was so good to his family, and it's just a shame the way he wound up.
It's too bad that that's what's happened. But, you know, he had a good life, and he was honored when he passed away very well.
Well, he's still one of the biggest names around in the world. You know, when you mention Muhammad Ali, they know Muhammad Ali.
You know, what I was thinking about with Ed Sullivan is, could his show work today? Would people put up with his attitude?
No.
No. Wouldn't have. Why did it happen then?
Because we didn't have anything like that then. You see, that was a takeoff on a major Bose, which was the amateur hour, and we were conditioned from that from radio. The radio show, they had a lot of radio shows with the, you win a watch or something, you know, the amateur hours, and that carried over from that. And that's the way, like in a theater, that's the way they would have a show after the theater and so. And that's all that was. I told you before, what's his name, Burrow, was supposed to do a show. The August Moon Festival where they all dance. He'd take them out to different theaters every year. But one day he couldn't make it, so they put Ed Sullivan in there. And that's how Ed Sullivan discovered, or not him, that's how they discovered that Ed Sullivan could do this kind of show.
You know what I was just thinking about, Shecky, when I'm thinking about Ed Sullivan and Burrell and people of that nature? You know, Burrell lived into his early 90s. Phyllis Diller was 95. Marty Allen was 95. Burns was 100. Hope was 100. Senor Wences was 103 when he died. Something about...
How old was the puppet when he died? Yeah, go ahead.
I think about 63. But they live a long time. There has to be something. Remember, Norman Cousins wrote that book years ago, that laughter can help your illness.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah, I think that's
but
right.
But that's going back to what I said earlier in your show. It's the attitude. If you have the right attitude, if things bother, people bother, get rid of them. You understand? Don't try to keep winning people. I see people trying to win people over, you know?
Yeah, they do. And you know, I think there are things... I was thinking earlier on this week that the 20th century, which is the last century we were in, saw the invention of the automobile, the invention... or men walk on the moon, the invention of the television, mass radio, internet. What a time to live, you these 100 years you've lived, Shecky.
Yes. I feel that way. That dog, we just got on the wrong subject for her.
Well, we knew we might be leaving.
If she don't like the subject, she starts barking.
Mussolini.
Let me tell you, it's a fantastic thing because I sometimes think about what was before me as I came into this world. And the little things that he built, the Ford A, you know, the Model A, whatever, Model T. Look at it up, the Model A, the Model T, the Model B. But during my lifetime, as you said, all of these tremendous things happened. So I want to come back after and just see what's going to be in another 10 years.
Curiosity. You're a man.
No, I think everybody will be speaking Russian.
Well, you never know. Do you think
I could see it right now in my house. Somebody living going, Drogi mayecha bobobanyetse, Putin, Putin was gimayecha bobobanyetse. And then somebody says, Ed Sullivan used to do a show like that. Drogi mayecha bobots.
You know, what was Ed Sullivan's fascination with Topo Gigio?
It gave him the opportunity to perform with them. That was the thing, that he took part. It wasn't just a guy introducing somebody. He took part in that, and that became something.
But did he...
You understand?
Did he like Senor Wences as a person?
He loved Senor Wences.
Well, what was that? He was rude to everybody, but he liked Senor Wences.
No, I don't say he was rude to everybody. No.
You just kind of mean
this was a man that was... He was a... complex for the simple reason here's a guy that just was in sports, biggest thing on television. I mean, it's got to affect her, you know, ego.
So he didn't know how to handle it well.
I don't know. He did all right. He was all right. As I said before, I was with him near the end, and he was kind of nice to be with him. Shaky, I'm gonna make you. Ed, it's all over with. We're both gone. They don't want you. They don't want me. What do you mean they don't want me? Shaky, I want to tell you that you and I, you and I can hit the sky. We can be heroes again. They'll hear our names and then we'll go down in flame. We'll be heroes again. Okay.
You know, it's a shame that Ed and Hervé are not still with us. Can you, and Senor, can you imagine Topo Gijo, Senor Wences, Ed Sullivan, and Hervé Villachez all across the country?
No, Scott, the kids today would not dig it. The kids, you got to understand, there is a changing of the guard.
There certainly is. Do you like the comedians of today?
Some of them, yes. Some of them very much, but I don't watch too many of them anymore. You know,
did you?
I sometimes I see Steinberg or whatever his name, Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
And I his managers were very dear friends. I often wonder. I watch these shows and I say to myself, why didn't they ever ask me on this show? You know. I mean, I did enough and everything else, and I had a lot of success. But why? What was a particular thing? I mean, they knew I was around. Oh, that was number one. David, what's his name?
Letterman.
Huh?
Letterman?
Oh, that's his last name.
His name.
He's a Letterman. He's not a 4976231. Anyway, Letterman, never once.
You know,
I once told you that I saved a spot, the comedy club where they all worked. I got that for the lady that owned it.
You know something, Shecky? Here's what I think. I think I can answer this question. I think the reason they didn't invite you on was Johnny Carson used to do a talk show. But if you look at Letterman and Leno, which came right after, they were comedians. They wanted to get the laugh. And I think there was a certain amount of insecurity there. Even though they had comedians on, they didn't want to be outshined. It was a weird, because Carson would have comedian after comedian after comedian. Very rarely. I mean, they would have Rickles every so often, and they would
I agree with you. I know you're going to have to hang up pretty soon. Yeah, I agree with you to a point. Carson was as funny, if not funnier. Carson had a great sense of humor, you know? Because basically that's what Johnny was. Johnny was, when he first got into business, he was a comedy magician.
Well, Carson understood the secret to any talk show is if you're doing it 5 days a week, it doesn't matter if you're good or not. Nobody has a good day every day, but if the guest is good, they'll say, "Did you see Carson last night?" That's the secret.
Well, I think Letterman had that same thing. Leno didn't. Leno, I don't know. Leno was all right, but he didn't kill me.
No,
Leno.
No. I never understood why more people watched him. I never got that.
Because it was a time spot.
I think it was. Because Letterman was certainly doing funnier, more inventive things.
Oh, yeah, much more.
Yeah, and I think in circles he's revered better than Leno is. So.
But listen, Jay is intelligent. He's a good kid, too. But Letterman was more intelligent and more into politics and things. He can handle it. Leno was not into that.
No.
You know?
No.
Leno's into cars and stuff like that. That's fine.
Right. Well,
I think his car show is better than his talk show.
His car show is very good. I've caught that a few times. Shecky, what can I say? You always make this show better. That's the hallmark of a good guest, and I always thank you for coming on.
Well, I thank you for asking me. Tell Sean I love him, and Scott, I love you, and today I love the world.
Well, stay well until our next visit.
Okay. Hello, Ohio. Goodbye, Ohio.
Bye-bye. Shaky Green.
Hello again, everybody. This is Harry Carey, and hey, WWG